Rorick Honda is known for the Rorick Advantage as well as 2021 standouts like the Pilot. But how about you hit the website and you can learn about the day-to-day changing used vehicles available, certified, and what trade-ins are likely to make that deal happen.
We may be jagoffs, but we know good people who find good deals at Rorick Honda. Did we mention the return of the Pickup and Go entertainment shows starting this spring? Stay tuned. Visit Rorick.com for all of your vehicle needs.
Right. And now we start the Jagoff podcast for this week from the Harmony Inn in...
Harmony.
Right.
I'm really good at that.
Grant's Tomb question.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway. Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, jagoff?
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Larry Richard.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
Hey, it's Rick Sivak.
Hi, this is Greg Brown.
Hi, I'm Tyler Kennedy.
This is Antonio Holmes.
And this is the Jagoff Podcast.
Jagoff podcast, and we hope that you listen to it every week. If you don't, if you're listening to it for the first time, we ask that you subscribe to it and listen. Oh, when you're in your car, when you're on the treadmill, when you're surfing in Hawaii, why not?
Sure. But if you're in Pittsburgh and you're listening, it's all things about all Pittsburgh and surrounding area people. So this is where we talk about what was on the blog. So basically, if you notice what's on our blogs, we're trying to kind of do our jagging around videos again so you can see the uniqueness to the people beyond the podcast. But and one day a week obviously is the podcast, but we get at least three jagoffs in a week for the blog. I did not partake this week, admittedly. I didn't. But the jagoff of the week on Alista at 10:55 on Fridays on Star 100.7 was John found this amazing person who sort of, didn't sort of, he's a jerk to animals, essentially. Animal lovers don't like him. He has two dogs, and he called the cops on one of them for barking.
Right. The dog was outside barking.
Who does that?
The dog was outside barking, and he called the cops and said, a stray dog is outside barking incessantly.
Yeah, it was
the cops came and took the dog, and then the neighbor said, that's the dude's dog.
I don't.
He called the cops on his own dog.
Speechless about it.
Right. Yeah, who does that? That's a head scratcher.
So that was our jagoff of the week, and there were a couple other jagoffs as well.
Well, one of them I have to say was the, when you're not handicapped, for crying out loud, do not park in a handicapped spot. Right.
Yeah.
John and will catch you. He's a Peter Parker.
This was
catcher.
An honorary jagoff catcher because the guy sent this to us from Derry Township.
He's mad.
A handicapped veteran. Pulled in, and a guy cut him off. Pulled into the spot. Ran into the coffee shop and took the spot while he left his car running. So
don't
of course
do that.
He gave him the John Evil Eye when he was inside.
Yeah, don't
he told
do it.
He, his message. So that's what was on the blog. So that's,
what
and you can listen.
Does that?
You know, Patrick, that's the
it's
Rachel
one of those
question.
Things. It's like, I'm just going to be a minute. You're not going to be a minute.
It doesn't,
and
it doesn't
you're
matter.
Still,
no. It doesn't matter.
Right. Right. So that's what was on the blog. And we remind you to listen to on Alista's 100.7 every Friday around 10:55. Listen to the Jagoff of the Week and 4:55 p.m. every day with Kelly on Star because that's when we do our Daily Dose of Happiness.
Daily
All right.
Dose.
All who's right. on the, who's on our podcast?
Listen, this chick is pretty cool. And I hear she might be a little nervous. So we told her we won't talk serious stuff. So we love the fact we have two people who are joining us. One is Patrick. I'm sure you all know Patrick at this point from North Country Brewing. He brought our new friend Andy, who actually designed our beer cans. I mean, that's a pretty big deal for us. We're fanboy and girling. But he introduced us to Lindsay at the Harmony Inn. Admittedly, John and I have never been here, and I have no idea how not, because first of all, for any of you Yinzers who are so petrified to leave like the downtown area, do it. Harmony is literally, I mean, it was what, a 25-minute drive for some of us?
And there's only like three or four bridges.
Yeah.
Right. Where you come from, no tunnels.
That's right.
That is true.
There are no tunnels.
Yeah. Well, and we even said, like, I said to John, what time, we have to leave at like 10:45? And he goes, Rachel, it's right by the Steam Fitters, which we work with them. So I was like, oh, that's nothing. We got this. No lunch is needed to pack.
So this place is loaded with history and the fact that there's a connection with the North Country Brewing. So who wants to go first? Lindsay, you want to talk about the history? She's like, hell
ladies
no.
Ladies first. Tell us about the Harmony Inn.
Well, the Harmony Inn is a haunted restaurant built in 1856.
All right, stop there. Is it really haunted?
It is.
Yes.
What?
Like, in what way?
I know Patrick
over? Said this. No,
we
I'm going
actually
home.
Just had Allegheny Paranormal here, and they're going to be here tomorrow as well to give their reveal from what they found when they were in.
What did they do? What do you mean?
They sat up all night. We locked them in. and they caught a lot, and I'm excited to see their reveal tomorrow.
Yeah, so, they had that little thing on some sort of social media site where they were we showed them kind of setting all their gear up and things like that.
Allegheny Paranormal Investigators.
Okay. Yep. So who tipped them off? Or is the, I mean, this has been ongoing, right? But have you heard, you in particular, working here, have seen or heard things that you're like, this is going on?
I feel things. I don't necessarily see things.
So nobody taps you on the shoulder?
No.
Okay.
Not that, yes.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Not yet, at least.
Wow. I would not work here. I have to admit.
But now I have had staff that has had, you know, some taps on the shoulder and things like
the
that.
The Jagoff podcast is going to do a sleepover.
We need to
with those people. We need to come with those people.
Should.
They will be in tomorrow.
Yes.
So.
Well, we have the Jagoff beer to get drunk when we get there.
Yes. That's right. Yes. But you
I'll
can't
come
sleep
up with
then.
Questions. But Lindsay, tell us what it's like to be here. I mean, literally, so you pull into the parking lot, just to give somewhat of a visual. The architecture is amazing.
It's absolutely
wonderful.
Oh,
my gosh.
It's the best place I've ever worked. I actually live right next door as well.
Okay.
So I made Harmony my home.
How can you not?
Oh, wow.
It's so
quaint.
I am right next door. That is a good thing and a bad thing as the general manager. So but I am very close.
Yeah. And what is it about? Why was that your favorite job? If we were to meet at a bar.
I you know, the McCaffertys, the owners, it's just, it's like a family. So, I went somewhere else and came right back. So within
that's
a year,
so cool.
Wow.
I love
and
it
now,
here.
Did you know the history when you came here?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
So are you a Harmony boomeranger?
I am actually not from Harmony, but yes, I am now.
Okay. So here's what's kind of cool. I was telling John on the way up because I get the privilege of like pulling some fun facts to talk about. And what I found out was one of the, I guess the first owner was a guy named Pierce.
Yep.
Okay.
Austin Pierce.
Okay.
Yes.
So cool story is that, and I don't know why I find this so interesting, but essentially it is believed to be the building to have had the first indoor plumbing.
Yep. Indoor plumbing.
How cool is
and,
that?
Austin worked on the railroad too. So he was.
Okay.
Yep, he was
and then
a
what's really,
worker.
I guess it didn't like change hands a lot until it went to the Ziegler family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what?
And then Carl Beers.
Yeah.
Carl Beers,
yep.
Yeah.
And then he was responsible in 1985, right, for being the first craft beer place in Butler.
Yes.
Boom. Microphone drop. This never happens. I'm not a history person.
Well,
I'm so
well, it goes even further to the McCafferty's, so.
Yep.
Do you want to finish off the story?
I will let you finish it off, yeah.
Okay, so apparently, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it changed hands a couple times, and then it went up, it was for sale. And Papa John's wanted to come in. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We call them PJ. Go ahead.
PJ came in, comes in, and they want to put one of their highly, you know, very modern shops here.
Sure.
And it doesn't really fit the area.
At all.
Bob and Jody said, or Bob said, no, absolutely not. That's not going to happen. And he came in and bought it and kept it the exact way it was and kept
that
the name.
So
and
I did not know that. That's so cool.
So when people come to the, Harmony Inn, what's the sort of the food of choice? You know, what are
we
you
have German
for?
Food.
Okay.
Yes.
Spätzle.
But we'll have like our flatbreads and things. So we kind of have a mixture, but we're mainly German food.
Okay.
Yep.
And in this current COVID time, reservations always?
Does it get so packed? We do have reservations. We've just had to limit right now.
Okay.
But, so we take both walk-ins.
Your favorite thing on the menu?
I would probably say chicken spätzle.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that sounds delicious. That will rival Rachel's father's chicken spätzle, I will tell you. So that's the bar right now.
Taste
is very high.
Yes. Remember when my dad liked John? Those were good times. Made it not so awkward.
No, he set the bar.
Yeah.
So they have to beat that in order
to
be good.
Well, that means he'll just want to come try.
Yeah, I want a blind taste test.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, right. So what else? I mean, we're on this patio that we have to get photos, of course, of the inside as well, but we're on this patio pre-COVID. Hopefully post-COVID, what is it like in the summertime? Because I can
we
only,
are
it's
usually
like a cabana.
Jam-packed.
Yeah.
Jam-packed, live entertainment Wednesdays and Sundays. We set them up right on the patio. Customers all over the place enjoying the fireplace and just mingling and
it can be a madhouse here.
So help me out here. So I come up from Pittsburgh. What did we say? 28 minutes from Rachel's house. We're
something
all at Rachel's
like
house. We go, hey, we want to take a night out in Harmony.
Yeah.
We come up to the Harmony Inn for dinner, have a few drinks.
I'm not. You can just come sleep in my house. Okay,
what do we do here beforehand, after, and then the next day? What can we do up here in Harmony? All based around our trip to the Harmony Inn.
There's trails over here. We have wrapped seat down there.
Okay.
On a Quinessing real close.
Okay.
So there's, you know, walking around and people, no open container law, so you can walk the streets with a can of North Country beer.
Yeah. That was smart.
Yeah, Jagoff's really North Country beer.
Yeah, yeah,
a light lager.
Absolutely. Yeah. That light lager.
And we know we're going to talk to Rodney from the museum. That's a place you can go to because, again, interesting facts, you know, the things you don't learn in history class that you can come up here and learn, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can make a day, 2 days of it, I guess, probably, uh-huh. right?
Yeah, and there's even, you know, Shoe Brew is right across yeah. the way, so even yeah. if you're not drinking North Country, that's okay. Shoe Brew is still friends of ours.
Right,
yeah,
right, right.
Drink some of their beers.
Brothers,
Union
yeah.
Brothers
yeah.
is right up the way. So there is a lot to do around the Harmony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice little shops all around. We have the Wonder Bar down the street, and
how long? I mean, it's all walking, right? You
yep.
can essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just literally park
that.
In your parking lot. Yep.
Grab your can of your Jagoff yeah. beer.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
and head out.
I love
so
this.
So, you Yinzers, get up here.
Yeah.
Right? Or up
get
here.
Up here, Yinzers.
Get up here.
Yinzers. So, obviously, the dude voice you're hearing, listen, Lindsay, you did a phenomenal job. Like, you, it's like,
thank you.
You made me feel super comfortable. We're coming back for sure. But the dude voice you're hearing, you may have heard before because he is sort of, you know, not just sort of. We went to North Country Brewing, went to the wrong place, short
right.
story. Went to the right place, had an amazing time with Melinda Kalezai, right? She was our musician.
Yep.
And then we start talking to Patrick, and then we find out that maybe one day we'll have a beer. And so then Patrick says, well, maybe you should do it in the spring or summer. And then we were like, no, let's do it in March when it's cold. Nobody wants to buy our beer, but we're going to do it anyway.
No, and the original discussion was like December. Like, no.
I wanted, Colin and right. I wanted December.
Rachel's like, tomorrow, or you're a piece of crap.
I did not say any of that.
That's how I remember it happening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Listen, yeah, Patrick. I mean, we don't want to get attorneys involved, but yes, it was high pressure.
But you will laugh because this is what I put notes in my show notes to say this. Here's basically how I see our relationship, and then you could clear it up for everybody. You introduced us to the amazing establishment. We've been working together on beer with the process in our minds. We came up and taste tested. We put it to our listener vote. We took our parking chair picture in the snow, and now it will be packaged. Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
I don't think so. I think we got.
No,
I think we hit everything.
What is the problem?
Wait, the part you missed is the day we did the tasting. You didn't know we were just looking. We had a high pressure day. We were just looking to drink for free.
Yeah. We'll drive. Yeah. My husband was like, where are you? And I took a screenshot.
He always says, like, you guys make money doing this?
Yeah.
Not really.
So, Patrick, what's the process been like? Once we told you what the audience essentially decided on the light lager, how long does that take?
Well, it's been a great process because it was one of the first time that we reached fully out to such an expansive audience to say, what should we brew? What kind
yeah.
of what do you guys want to see? What do you guys – I mean, you guys have how many followers?
I think it's like 6 million.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
No.
And we only have like 5 million. So,
yeah. I understand.
You know.
So, yeah, we had a great – I have
like
to say, you're
here.
Right. Our Facebook response, even our Instagram response
yeah.
was really good.
Really
I want to say there was a 90-vote mark. Margin between the first and second place. So that was kind of cool.
And let's talk about what we didn't do.
Yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
We didn't do the
pretzel.
Strawberry Jello pretzel salad beer.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. It's not our fault that we didn't do it.
It was
we tried.
Your brewmaster, he was on it. He was listing the ingredients he would have, and then we thought, wait, do we want to look cool or do we want to sell beer? So we decided to sell beer.
Yeah, and at one point in time, he was off in Never Neverland, and we said, John, you doing okay? And he's like, trying to figure out how to do this.
Yeah. He's like, I can get vanilla.
So once you learned it, what take us through that process for at North Country Brewing?
It's a pretty easy process. It's just a time consuming process.
Yeah.
John, our head brewer, comes up with a recipe and kind of executes said recipe, and it takes a little bit longer because of how it's brewed and the fact that lagers generally take a little bit longer than any of your ales or anything like that. There's two different kinds, technically, styles of beer.
Okay.
And then you kind of have those subcultures underneath it.
Okay.
And this is a lager, so it just takes longer to quote-unquote lager.
Okay.
And it's really easy, super easy drinking, very low, what we call IBU, so it's not bitter at all. It's going to just be a very crisp, refreshing, clear, yellow.
Cool.
Yummy beer.
If it was
yummy.
Called John Driving in Rush Hour, it would be a very bitter beer.
You don't even know.
would we have to name it a four-letter word,
yeah,
too? Is that
right?
He's great. He's a different person. I tell people this regularly. He's the nicest guy I've ever met until he drives. Anyway.
Well, Patrick, you have taught us so much about brewing.
So much.
And,
yeah.
And the other day we had a meeting about the distribution of it all here in Pennsylvania. I mean, it's crazy, but it was just, the cool part is when we talked about this, you guys were all in, like, we got the can made, we got this, we got that. Like, oh, We didn't have to do anything.
I mean, local small businesses. I mean, we try and
got
to help each other out,
but
right?
Is the Harmony Inn a small business? I mean, seriously, are you considered a small business?
We sure are.
Because it seems like this, it's large, so it looks like it could accommodate a lot more. Okay, cool.
And for those who are not sure, it's Butler County, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not that far away.
Hence open, what is it,
open container.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Guys, I don't want to let you go, but we have a couple others. We get to talk a little bit about Harmony and history. So thank you both so much for being here. And question of the day. Don't think you're getting away, Lindsay. All right. And it actually, it's going to be interesting to hear because you sort of alluded. So one job that you would never want.
I don't think I'd ever want to be a garbage man.
Oh, that's a good,
that's
a good one.
That's
pretty much tough. And they've been so amazing through COVID and such. So that's,
I mean, that's
kudos.
A job you appreciate, but you just don't want,
I don't
you
know
appreciate that,
I that
somebody
it.
Wants to
me.
Do it, right?
Patrick, you had time to hear it. What is it?
Oh, I can't think of anything but a garbage man, but I don't think that I
you
would.
You can't repeat.
I really wouldn't mind being a garbage man, though.
Yeah?
I mean, you're outside. I don't know.
You cannot repeat. I'll throw the rules in now. You cannot repeat.
Listen,
you cannot repeat.
This is where Rachel gets
you know what?
I get
you know what?
I
know what job I wouldn't want to be, and somebody offered it to me one time, was somebody that sells plots at cemeteries.
Oh, it's another
It's a eat what you kill kind of job. And, I mean, no pun intended.
No, I was going to say, that's a horrible pun, Patrick.
Who says that?
Anyway, you kill, then bury.
That's our beer guy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What do you guys do?
What job would you not want?
Dude, I'm trying to sit here and think. There's a lot. Like, parent of children in schools who are homeschooled right now.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Is that a good enough
I answer? Definitely would not want to be a plumber unclogging toilets.
That's a good one, yeah.
And the other thing I can't do, you know, from my healthcare days, I could do certain things, but I cannot be someone who cleans up.
Wipes bums.
Poops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
would be a gagger.
No code browns.
I'd be a gagger. Yeah.
No code browns. I couldn't do what my husband does. I wouldn't want a labor intense, you know, trade job. So.
Crawling,
There we go.
Awesome. All right.
It's fun, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So we have some music coming up here, and then next we're going to talk to.
A little piece of history from Milwaukee.
The one thing we haven't done yet is do a walking tour with an open can, which sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And as you heard our first guest, they said you can do that and walk to the museum. I think, though, Rodney, is the fact that we could probably not walk into the museum with an open container. With that, we should be at least somewhat respectful.
I think if you were very careful.
Okay.
If you were very careful, that would be
okay.
Fine.
Fair
you
enough.
Know,
fair
we,
enough.
We are a German heritage organization, so we and that's the Germans were the people who founded Harmony. So we like to keep that German tradition.
Well,
I don't always dress like this.
I was just going to say, if we didn't know,
he'd be the one guy that he's like, I did not get the memo.
Exactly. And God love him because it's a little chilly. And
I thought we were all wearing lederhosen today. Right.
I was until I found out we were outside and I went inside and changed. No. So, Ronnie, how do you pronounce your last name?
Gash.
Gash. Okay. Gash, yep. So you are the person that...
president.
Of the museum.
Yes,
the Harmony
I'm president.
Museum.
Our organization is called Historic Harmony.
Okay.
And we own 9 properties here in the in the town of Harmony, and one of those is the Harmony Museum, which you can tour. But we own 2 cemeteries. We own the oldest Mennonite meeting house west of the Allegheny Mountains. That's just about a mile from here, and we own the Harmonist Cemetery, which was the only bit of property that the Harmonists left when they were here for 10 years, and they moved to Indiana, the Indiana Territory. They were there for 10 years, and then they ended up near Ambridge. If you've ever heard of the old economy,
that was
the
same
communal society, but they actually started 3 towns they moved.
So you just used a term that I never heard: a harmonist.
Yes. So the harmonists were a follower of a religious theologian, Father George Rapp. And you may have heard Lindsay mention Rapp's seat.
Yes.
That is a carved stone like bench on a cliff where Father Rapp would go to meditate and prepare his sermons. And some people say he would watch and make sure nobody was taking a nap behind the haystack. Father Rapp did not like the official Lutheran Church in Germany. And he thought people should have a more simple life. And he was, there was a line in the Acts of the Apostles that all the original Christians shared whatever they had in common. So they were a communal society. I like to say they were the communist on the Conequenessing.
Yeah. Okay.
When you joined the society, you gave all your money to Father Rapp, and he distributed it according to your needs. So like a great social net, social safety net. And the term harmonist, when they came here, they looked at living in harmony, and they're the ones who coined the name harmony. Prior to that, they were called the Rappites, which probably wasn't entirely complimentary.
Yeah.
But by founding Harmony, using that name, they then became the Harmonists.
Wow.
That is so interesting. Yeah. And actually, I did do some digging. It looks like that
Not
name.
Not at the cemetery,
no.
I
know.
Where Patrick doesn't want to work.
No. And that name did come up quite a bit. And obviously the Mennonite situation. But George Washington, huge part of history, right?
Yes. So he was a 21-year-old major in the Virginia militia. And at this point, this is in 1753, and Virginia claimed this part of the world. And actually, Virginia claimed like as much as they could put their hands on. And so he was sent out by the governor of Virginia because he heard that French were building forts in this land, which they thought was the British land. The French thought that was their land. And we still have some remnants of the French being here. Presque Isle State Park in Erie. The French Creek
Look
runs through Meadville. So those are all things from when the French were building forts here. So Washington comes out in 1753. He's only 21 years old, and he has an older wilderness guide, and they go up to the French. And he kept journals of what all he did. And in his journal on November 30th, 1753, it said, I crossed the creek, which we know from Indian trails was the Conequenessing Creek. We think
you say that so well. I never say it right. I'm always like Conequenessing.
I know. Yeah. Say it often enough and it rolls off your tongue.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't work at your museum.
That's what he just says. His journal said they crossed the creek, camped and traded with local Indians for dried meat and corn. So,
Wow. Yes,
so now
You love this
stuff. I do love this stuff. Have you been a lifelong resident of Harmony?
No, I'm actually from Wisconsin. If you find a funny twang in my voice, but my wife and I came here about 30 years ago. She's on the faculty at the University of Pittsburgh.
Okay,
and I became interested. Well, actually, we own a small farm outside of town, and I got interested in George Washington because I figured out that looking at some maps that. The original Indian trail that George Washington would have walked on runs right through our farm. It was eventually abandoned because there's a lot of springs on it, which probably didn't matter for Indians walking, but once there were horses and wagons, it would have been a disaster.
Oh, yeah, right.
So that kind of got me interested in that, and from there I got involved with the museum. And
I love it. So you traded in your cheese hat
for a Spetzel hat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I love it. No, that's super. It's so interesting. What do you think of this area having come from?
Oh, it's been really great. And I've had friends come to visit from Pittsburgh, you know, and you were talking about having bad commutes. They're like white knuckles. I almost got run off the road on 79. There's orange barrels everywhere. And then they pull in and there's a quiet square.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like, man, I just stepped back.
Right.
One of our slogans we like to say, just 30 miles and 200 years from downtown Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's exactly right.
It reminds me of the Chevy Chase Funny Farm. You literally drive into the town
and
you're like, oh my gosh.
It's peaceful and you get good beer.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get any better.
So when we go to the museum, what are we seeing over there? What's some artifacts and things like that?
Well, a couple interesting things. We talk a little bit about the George Washington mission. We'll tell you about the Harmonist. And since I imagine your show is not entirely rated PG, one of the things that is notable about the Harmonists is that they started practicing celibacy when they were here because they thought the end of the world was coming and Jesus was going to have his second coming and that there would be a 1,000-year reign of peace. And
How about that?
And Father Rapp had some rather strange views about marital relations between men and women that we probably won't go into on this podcast.
Yeah, that'd be the
kids
listening. That's the late night version. Yeah. But
you can get those stories live at the museum.
Jag off late night at the Harmony
Museum.
Come
to the museum and we'll tell you what he thought about. And we also had some interesting artifacts. There was a noted weaver here who wove coverlets. And this was a short period of time where they would weave cotton coverlets. This was like when the pioneers were first starting to have a little money that they could not have homespun cloth, that they could actually buy a fancy blanket to put on your bed. So we have some of these coverlets that are still bright and crisp and were made in 1840s. It's just amazing. So
wow.
Kind of like a woven bedspread.
Yeah.
And then there was also a gunsmith here, Charles Flowers, and we have a dozen of his rifles. Incredible workmanship, inlaid different woods and brass and it. So we have a display of that. And then we have some other displays. When the Harmonists left a German Mennonite from Eastern Pennsylvania came and bought all 2,000 acres and 130 buildings in hopes of establishing a thriving Mennonite community. And a number of those Mennonites who came still live in, their descendants still live in the area. You see the same last names that are here.
So, what events can we expect non-COVID days?
Well, even in COVID days, coming up March 27th, we have five great old cars made in Butler, Pennsylvania. So there are five vehicles that were manufactured in the little town of Butler, including the original Jeep.
Jeep.
So we have the 1941 BRC, which stood for the Bantam Reconnaissance Vehicle. And so that was the predecessor of the Jeep. And we have three other cars, American Austin, a Bantam. They were all manufactured in Butler, and they're going to be in our the cars are relatively small, those old ones, and they're all going to fit in our rental hall we have.
So Rorik Honda, you cannot come to that. We are going to go see what these are like.
So we're going to have these five cars, and then everybody have to wear masks, and we'll keep track of how many people are in the room. But we think people are hankering for us
to
get out.
Absolutely. About it.
No question.
Get to see these cool
cars.
Well,
we need to make sure we share that event.
Pages
for sure.
Will.
I have a quick question. You know, Pittsburghers complain about how long it takes to get up here, but we also know that the Mennonites moved from here to Ambridge. Do you have any idea how long and how they got to Ambridge from here? Like, did it take them days? You know, anybody who wants to complain, it takes 28 minutes to get up 79.
If we're being literal, it took them 10 years. Because they moved to Indiana first, and then...
Oh, okay.
Wait a second.
Right.
I'm not good at proximity, but I don't think it would take 10 years.
Yeah. But just the thought of the fact of them moving, they had a whole community. They had, when they left here, they would have had 800 members and all these businesses, and then one of the reasons that they left, they were pacifist. And so they left in 1814. Well, in 1812 was the War of 1812, and Commodore Perry, who fought these battles in the Great Lakes up off Lake Erie, their troops marched right in front of the Harmony Inn, right up.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine the kind of animosity between local farmers whose kids are going off to fight in a war, and they see the Harmonists kind of sitting fat and happy with their view of, well, we don't fight. We don't take up arms. And so that was, and there was a certain amount of jealousy too. They were very successful but they worked hard. They worked together and then in the end, they ended up owning railroads and oil land. They were extremely, if you have a reason to go to Old Economy, they became kind of like the Rockefellers of the 1860s.
Right.
So.
Sure. Right.
I don't think I ever knew that from touring that with my kids on school trips or anything. You don't really really realize that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Sure.
And I must put another plug. We'll have our Christmas market it's the second weekend in November.
Okay.
We get about 5,000 people to Harmony. And so we have 70 artisans that are handcrafted. It's a juried show. So we have people making wooden spoons and weaving and other handicrafts, so kind of a emphasis towards German type of things, and I'll be wearing the same.
Well, then we're there.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, it'll still be cold.
Yeah.
Or it'll be cold again.
Yeah. Where can everyone find this so that they know where they're looking? Social media, website, that kind of thing?
We have a museum, harmonymuseum.org, and we're on Facebook. And also another good site is the Butler Tourism site. They have an active calendar.
Yeah,
and,
I saw that.
And they have a lot of employees, so they actually keep their calendar better than some of us volunteer groups.
Yeah. This has been a true pleasure.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sure.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks so much for, for venturing up.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And we will take a tour at some point.
And we will let you go put real pants on next.
Yes, good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You were listening. So question of the day. What's the one job you wouldn't want to have? And you actually have a bunch of them. So you can't say cemetery worker. You can't say.
A volunteer at a museum.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't want to change the light bulbs on those cell towers.
That is a good one.
He had way too much time
to
think.
I cheated. Really poor Lindsay goes, put on the spot.
So. Yeah. Listen, we appreciate it, and we will certainly be sharing this because you are quite the guest. Thank you so much for coming
thanks
on.
Thanks so much for coming up to Harmony
anytime.
And seeing what we have here.
And once again, we have to thank Fusion Entertainment of Pittsburgh for the music that you're hearing in between us.
Elon!
The thing about the podcast is that we get to meet random people we would have never met.
Wait.
The thing about the podcast, we get to meet people that we would have never met, meeting. And this is cool. Now, that sounds very cliche, but it's so true at this particular point.
You're right, because with our next guest, we truly were like smitten, right? Like, we knew what his work was like when we met him because we Googled that stuff real quick. And then when we met him.
She almost said a word
that
rhymed with it.
Yeah, I did. But once we met him, we were so smitten. And literally, as we told him when we saw him today, we told Tracy, who organizes, we have got to get Elon Mizrahi. I mean, if that doesn't sound Hollywood, I don't know what does. We have to get him on the podcast. And literally, like, 8.8 days and 6 hours later, he was on.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
So welcome.
Thank you for having
me.
So let's talk about how we met you. So there's a little bit of an article coming out in a local magazine about podcasters, and we're fortunate enough to be a part of that. And then you called us and said, we want to take your picture. So we both didn't eat for 3 days and then found 4 pairs of Spanx to put on. Mm-hmm. And then we met you down on the north side. And we met you on the north side. We took a picture. We started looking at all the pictures you've taken.
Amazing.
Your photographs are really amazing. I mean, we all know a bunch of photographers in Pittsburgh, but your face and your faces of the people that you do, just incredible. One of them, Jackie Page, sitting on our counter. It's like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So anyways, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
We talked earlier about maybe someone boomeranged Harmony, but you and your wife have boomeranged Pittsburgh.
So. I boomeranged. She'd agreed to come to Pittsburgh.
Okay, That's right. Okay.
Well, the other option was Jersey, and I wasn't going to Jersey.
Oh,
so.
Okay, yeah.
Hell to the no.
Pittsburgh was
You'll watch Jersey Shore as a train wreck?
right. That's about it.
What part of Jersey, though? Do we talk about this?
She's from Marlborough.
Okay.
Jersey.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. I know where
So we go back all the time. We go back to New York City a lot.
Yeah.
Where we both used to work.
Yeah.
So happy to still go visit, but happy to not be living there also.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can't say I blame you.
Yeah.
So, of course, we've creeped essentially since, and, you know, your work is... Photographers are able to capture things I envy because I have no idea how to take a decent photo. It's just not my thing. But I truly look at various people and I think, wow, like you capture that so well. The colors and you tell a story, and I know that sounds cliche, but you tell a story with every photo you take, which is interesting because I went on your website, and I love the fact that you say that you believe a good photo begins with a good conversation.
Right,
Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of my photography comes from like an authenticity. And,
yeah.
You know, going into a situation, I usually go in without my camera first. I try to break the ice, make the subject feel comfortable, and I want to feel comfortable as well in their space because a lot of times I'm kind of just barging into their home and I'm like, I can do whatever I want here now because I'm the photographer.
Yeah,
so I don't want it to feel that way to them.
And,
you know, I want to build a rapport. So, a lot of it just comes down to that, the start, with a conversation. And then from there, you know, you add the lighting, you add some of the technicalities, and then you start to tell the story. And I like to spend some time, even if it's a small shoot, I usually like to spend, you know, at least an hour getting a few different shots around the house or around the property and kind of building a body of work that tells the story collectively.
Okay.
That's kind of my approach.
And we can even say we know you did it, because when we got there, we're nervous because we're like, you know, as we told you, we just assumed we were going to submit a shot of our own.
Right.
So we were like, great. We'll just, you know, get some good lighting and do a typical John and Rachel selfie, never knowing that we would get the call from you. And when we got there, it was instant at ease, right? Because he had everything ready as far as the backdrop. I mean, the city of Pittsburgh's gorgeous as it is, you started talking like, what do you guys do? Like, we're these two old podcasters and you're this like young hip happening photographer.
Look, most people haven't done it before. You know,
yeah, sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Most people are nervous getting in front of the camera.
Sure.
And you know what? Every shoot, I'm nervous too. And I say, if you're not nervous, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah,
so
sure. That's a good point.
If both parties are nervous and we kind of work together to
there you
ease
go.
It's like
out.
A first date.
Exactly.
Like, if you would have taken us to lunch, we would both ordered salads, but
yeah.
The next picture we're ordering steaks and hoagies.
I'm not having steaks.
And down with a couple beers. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Right.
What do you like taking pictures of the most? Like, you know, the people, we certainly see a lot of, what do you call it? Still life, I guess, on your portfolio. But the pictures of the people, you seem to be really.
People all day.
Okay.
My entire focus is on people.
Yeah.
Editorial portrait photography is my focus. I mean, that's my love for photography. There's obviously other parts that I do for the money.
Sure.
But I enjoy it all, but people are always my focus. Storytelling, slice of life kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I've always had this like sort of strange fantasy that I want to do everything. You know, it's a short life. I want to like work every job. I want to go everywhere. I've traveled a lot in my life, and I think photography gives me that window into a lot of places that I wouldn't be allowed into otherwise.
Sure.
And like, you know, different homes and careers and buildings, whatever it is.
Right.
It just gives me access to things I wouldn't have access to otherwise. And I try to put myself in those situations and tell the story from that perspective.
Look at this place.
Yeah.
Right.
The second I pulled up to Harmony, I've never been here before. You know,
yeah.
Like you said, it's like 35 minutes away.
And who thinks of it?
And
losers. We're all losers.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I know.
Right.
We're all losers. Yeah, I rolled up here. Like, I can't believe me and my wife haven't come here and like had a beer out here. And
exactly.
And we're always looking for places like this.
Right.
That's like, you know, we travel around PA looking for towns that look like this.
Exactly.
And and here we are.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, like we were just on Patrick's, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, and we just said we listen all the time, but his,
Alone
Together.
Patrick
and
Jordan.
And he was saying, you know, you guys have interviewed a bunch of different Pittsburghers and places. Does the well run dry? This is a classic example. No way.
No.
Because you can maybe repeat in the city of Pittsburgh because of the transition and such. But then when you get beyond, you're right. There's so much character in these small towns.
So much
towns.
Character. And they're all changing. Like the way Pittsburgh's
evolving.
Changing, these towns are also changing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's exciting to see the change. Like you said, I'm a boomerang back. And well, I left for about 10 years. I went to college. I went to New York City for about 5 years. I traveled. And then coming back, it's like, it's still the same old Pittsburgh, but there's all this new stuff popping
up. That's it.
Good food, good beer.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends came back. I'm this is the life. Yeah. You know?
And
the same thing's happening out here.
It is. Well, and so when I say I really took the time, I do use the word smitten because I have looked at your site so many times to see like you capture faces. So I obviously am older than you and have different life experiences. And I think about what my face probably looked like when I gave birth or what my face looked like when I, you know, started my new career. You're literally capturing every piece of that. Like I'm looking at these and sometimes they're black and white and sometimes they have this unique color, you know, mechanism. I don't even know what to call it to them. How is it that when you're on the spot, I get that you come in and have a conversation, but a few of those photos, I know you didn't take with a lot of conversation. How are you able to capture that emotion? The gentleman, the African American man in the vehicle, how was that taken?
Yeah, that is actually, I was on my honeymoon in Cuba.
Okay.
We popped out of our Airbnb outside of Havana.
You can tell.
And I saw the dude literally driving by. I pointed at him. We smiled. Snapped the shot. That was it.
Listen, I knew there was like something that, do you know what I'm
but
saying?
It has
like,
to be
I
that
knew.
Moment. Otherwise, you lose the authenticity, you know?
That's exactly
so,
it.
Finding that off moment, even when I'm on a shoot with someone for an hour and we're, you know, we're BSing and doing all that.
Right.
finding that quick moment where they're not looking at the camera, where they're thinking about something or looking down, or, you know, it's that's the real drama.
Well, you did that because we were like standing there, we're smiling.
We're like, what do we do?
And then we just started goofing around and just started laughing.
And we did the quick, like, we're not married, we're not siblings, we don't know how we're together, but somehow.
So, taking pictures, your camera is all this souped up kind of camera and things like that, but if you could go back in time to, flash cubes and 110 cameras and or Polaroids or black and white film, what camera would you like to experiment with if you went back? Let's say you're here at the Harmony Inn when George Washington came
right.
by.
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
Well, it's funny you asked that. I'm actually pretty new to photography. I got my first camera 5 years ago.
Yep. Wow.
So I started in the digital age. I never had any experience with film whatsoever, which I know is like, you know, you're not supposed to say that as a photographer.
Oh, well.
People hate that.
Hey.
But yeah. So I don't have like a huge affinity towards film. I it's something I do want to get into.
Okay.
If I could go back, I'd like to go back and just shoot street photography in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
In 1920.
You know, me too.
Wouldn't that be great?
I just
so I'd be in a flapper dress.
Something about even like horrible photography. Should have came with a shoot in a flapper dress. There's just something about old photos, even if they're bad photos.
Right.
They're just great photos.
Yeah.
Because
right.
they tell the story. They're unattainable now. So I think just, you know, old timey street photography, telling the story of cities, American cities in, you know, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, and around the world too. Whatever.
Yeah,
I just
a decade.
Love
would,
that.
Would you stay here on a ghost night? Would you sleep here?
Yeah, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't care at all.
Yeah.
You know what? That's
I fully, fully, fully do not believe in ghosts.
I don't care. That's a Rachel answer. Well, here's what I would say. I'm Catholic. I'm brainwashed Catholic, and I can say that because I'm a brainwashed Catholic, and we're not supposed to believe in ghosts,
right,
and that's why I'm afraid.
Fair enough.
Like, but there's a Holy Ghost.
Well, that's a whole other
thing. Yeah. Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right. We've now become political or religious.
Yeah.
One quick answer. Like, I know you said friends and things like that. What made you guys boomerang back to Pittsburgh? I mean, I know you said food, beer, and all that, but is there something? Was it family? Just
family and
thing?
Community,
yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
And just accessibility. I don't know. Yeah. Just
okay.
it, like. Physically and emotionally and career-wise, there was just a lot of opportunity here, I felt. And it's affordable.
It's
actually buy a home in Pittsburgh versus anywhere else.
Yeah.
But yeah, community and family.
Good.
He missed the opportunity to say the You Jagoff podcast.
Yeah,
back.
Well, he's on it now. What about good change from your perspective? Do you see good change in Pittsburgh having left and come back?
I do. I see a lot of artists sort of making some headway here and including, you know, again, food and drink, and just great culture is really growing here. It's kind of becoming the culture you see in larger cities, which I don't think we had for a long, long time growing up here. We weren't
exactly right.
We weren't there with the rest of, with the rest of the large cities in America, including music.
Yeah,
And I just love that local artist scene. There's so much going on and a lot of just, you know, really,
It's authentic.
Well,
it's
I'll tell you, one
right,
we're
yeah.
bringing it out again.
One of the things that surprised us is some time ago we had a gay woman on our a musician on our podcast, and she moved here.
Oh,
not,
from Michigan.
Not boomerang. She moved here.
Yeah.
And she shocked us when she said, I came here because I was actually welcome in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, holy smokes. Like,
I would not have ever thought this,
especially 10 years ago.
Exactly.
She said, I actually feel welcome here, which was kind of cool.
It is amazing. And I love the people that come here that have never lived here before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick Pittsburgh, you know? It looks cool. I'm like, you're right. It is cool.
It's like you threw a dart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it can be. There's still change to be made.
There's a lot of change to be made. And some of the changes that are happening here are not great changes.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, it's all a process and every city goes through that.
Yeah.
And I think we're moving in the right direction generally. And I hope it continues
that's
that
awesome.
Way.
Listen, that's the perfect segue because you're our main guest, so we can take a little bit more time. So moving, you know, you have an area on your website, which obviously we'll give in the show notes, you know, where to follow you and such. But you title it Travel Galleries, and the first one is The Land.
Mm.
Talk about where, I mean, you know, the Cuba galleries, the Gulf Coast, the other side, all these places. What is The Land?
The Land is Israel.
Yeah.
Okay, so
amazing. They're amazing.
In Hebrew, you actually call Israel the land.
Yep.
Haaretz is the land, literally, and that's what people call Israel when you're actually in Israel, or Israelis.
Okay.
I will call it that. So that's where the name comes from. I was there earlier this year, right before the pandemic hit.
Oh, that's soon. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been there a dozen times. My father's Israeli, so I spent a lot of time over there. And, ever since I picked up photography, every time I go back, traveling and photography for me are like the greatest combination ever. Which drives my wife crazy, but I'm like, you know, lagging behind. I'm like, you know, talking to someone on the street, trying to get a nice angle. And she's like, come on, we're here. It's our honeymoon. What are you doing?
You're like, stop it with the guy in
right,
the truck.
Right, right. It's like, no. We have a connection.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was sort of just, It wasn't a contrived project. It wasn't anything that I really focused on. It was more a street approach. I always have a camera on me no matter what. So, Israel resonates with me. I feel very connected to it. And it's important for me to like tell that story.
Yeah.
And capture it in through my eyes and through my, you know, through my life and how it was, you know, how important it was to me.
And every one of them, I mean, I'm not to say that that was the best. It's just obviously opinion based, but every one of them was beautiful.
Right.
But something about that. And I tell this very candidly. I went to an all-girl Catholic school. I had 13 years of Catholic school education, went to Pitt in Johnstown, which was not some major, like, you know, epiphany. And they had what was called a non-denominational church. And I was like, what is that? And that's when I realized that my children are going to need to know that there's something other than being a Catholic. And that I find so much uniqueness to these other cultures that are amazing.
Absolutely.
And maybe that's what resonated.
And this is sort of like my standard question, and I'll kind of change it a little bit in that. So if you were to take us to Israel,
mm-hmm.
When I go to Chicago, I want to hang out with someone from Chicago, not just do the touristy things, New York the same way. If you would take us to Israel to help us understand the people
the place,
you know, other than what I've seen in my history books in eighth grade,
sure.
What would we do over there?
Straight to the beaches of Tel Aviv.
Is that right?
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Tel Aviv is the, I've
heard that.
Tel Aviv is probably my favorite city in the world. I love Hong Kong as well. It's actually where I met my wife. We were studying abroad there. But straight to the beaches of Tel Aviv, right off the beaches are these incredible little restaurants with, I mean, the food in Tel Aviv is next level. Israeli food is so eclectic.
Yeah.
So many cultures came together and they kind of created this new cuisine, Israeli cuisine.
Yeah.
So just that whole vibe right there.
Yeah.
Everyone's so laid back, you know. People are just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying life. It's got that, I don't know what a Bauhaus architecture looks like, but it has the famous Bauhaus architecture there.
Okay.
It's just an amazing vibe, amazing scene. So that's number one for me. In
Israel, yeah.
For
that's
sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we won't ask him if we could do like a porch tour there.
Right. Is there a Harmony Inn over there that we can record?
I thought
record
you were going to say Permanente, so I'm impressed you didn't say that.
Is there a Steeler bar over there?
100%. There's a lot of Americans in Israel. I bet you there's a bunch in Tel Aviv.
That's so funny.
What's the travel mode to get there? It's over to Europe and
usually just New York.
New York, is that right?
Correct.
Just direct.
There's so many people going from New York to
Israel. Right?
Okay. Yeah, all the time. Well,
that's
so
amazing. That's
You
know what? You're climbing the ropes, brother. Pete Hewlett, who actually is still my favorite guest.
Do you know who Pete Hewlett is?
I do not.
He sang with Billy Joel. He's from Pittsburgh.
Really?
Sang with Billy Joel. And his latest claim to fame was Billy Joel closed out Shea Stadium. And Pete is in the background singing with Paul McCartney and Billy Joel.
I mean, just a little
no
bit.
Way.
Pete,
wow.
Pete sings all the high notes now that Billy Joel can't hit them.
He does.
Really?
And,
yeah.
For real.
So Innocent Man and all that.
Yeah.
That's all Pete.
It's him.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And he's a Pittsburgher. Totally.
But you're getting up there. I don't know.
You're in pH level. You're pH. Which is not acid base. It's pH.
This is honestly everything I expected and more. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
And we will not tell anybody where you will see our picture taken by
Elon. But we will tell you that we're excited because we have something new coming up, and he's actually a contributor.
Right.
Are we going to leave it at that?
Yeah.
All right.
Excited
that's it.
About it.
So check it out. Where does everybody follow you?
My website, elonmizrahi.com. That's ElonMizrahi.com. Same Instagram, at elonmizrahi.
Check it out because it's amazing. It will be in our show notes. Thank you so much.
As I always say, that's one of those things. When you're on the toilet, be careful because
hate when
you will
the
sit there
thing.
Forever going it's, through all. You'll be mesmerized. You're like, it's an hour.
He does this new toilet thing. I'm sorry.
Who doesn't?
I'm all for it.
Wait, who doesn't look at their phone in the toilet? Raise your hand because you're lying if you're saying you don't.
No way.
Yeah, right. All right. So before we let you go, we're going on a tour to Israel with you, and you're funding it. It's awesome. And Colin's going with us.
Absolutely.
And
QOD. You hit him.
QOD. What is the question of the day? What is one job you would not want?
For me, it would be a lawyer.
Oh,
why?
Yeah?
I think that that looks like the most – no offense to lawyers
sure.
at all.
Right.
Someone needs to do it.
So, yes.
But so to me, that looks like the absolute most boring job.
So everybody, thanks for watching on Facebook. Yeah.
But I know some people love it.
The podcast
and
comes
attention
out
details
on
important.
I could never
and
do
I just can't sit and read for you know,
this is
kind of
how we close the
It's seriously
– if you read my tweets, you know I can never be a lawyer because my proofreading is awful.
Yeah. A lot of attention.
Two sentences and they're four proofreads.
That was an amazing podcast. Thank you, obviously, to all of our guests. Thank you especially
to
Patrick from North Mountain Brewing. Excuse me. Because
well,
he
like,
connected us with Lindsay over here at the Harmony Inn. And we, like you, Elon, we're coming back to Harmony because we need to check out a couple different places. This is awesome. And then
thanks to Rodney and the leader of Rodney.
Oh, my gosh. God love him and his outfit because I couldn't do it. And thank you to Elon, of course. And thank you to
Marilyn Walsh would have loved that.
She would. We're going to have to tell her.
Yes.
The Tina Daniels Band is who you're hearing. Thank you again to Fusion Entertainment. And thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Rorik Honda.
Good, you read it from the beginning.
Rorik Honda is known for the Rorik Advantage, as well as 2021 standouts like the Pilot. But how about if you hit the website, you can learn about the day-to-day changing used vehicles that are available and certified and what trade-ins are like to make that deal happen.
We may be Jagoffs, but we know good people and we know good deals at Rorik Honda. Did we mention the return and pickup, the return of the pickup and go entertainment where we have comedians and bands at Johnny Angel's Genji Step Park? All of that's coming up here in the later March, and you can find all of it on Rorik.com.
Boom. Done.
Cool.
We didn't do the
question of the day. Come on. No, don't.
You're doing it, bro.
Yeah. All right.
Because you were waiting.
He was like, yeah, I'm out of here.
Not even that good of an
intro. All right.
This music all through the episode about how everybody's talking about Tina Daniels Band, and we finally get to meet you. I mean, this is so exciting because you've been to a couple places in which we've podcasted, one being Maastricht Trails, right? You were just there.
Right. We were there last night.
That's awesome. So what was the ambiance like? Like, are people ready to get back out?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, the room was full and people were waiting outside and in their back room to get in. And Maastricht Trails, Ben is amazing. Like,
yes.
He let the people come in and, you know, keeping the boundaries.
Sure.
The ambiance was great. The lighting was great, right? Wouldn't you say?
Lighting
was great. The sound was good.
It's a cool place.
Right. I wish people could have danced.
We actually did a 2-camera shoot, so we're going to put that out.
Right. We did.
Oh, cool.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So that was good.
It seems like any of the musicians or, you know, performers in general who we've talked to in the past couple of months, like, you feel it. You feel that people are itching to get back out. The weather's going to break soon, and we think there's going to be some kind of normalcy, right?
We're hoping.
You know, off camera and off video and off topic, we were just talking before we started recording that this pandemic has made us think and kind of become more creative people. What are the kinds of things that you guys have been doing? You have your own little comedy show over here?
We do our own little comedy show back. So when we rehearse, we get into, okay, now what? So we just kind of put our cameras up and we do a comedy skit. We'll sing a song.
Maybe a reality of
a reality show. We're doing some gospel on our thing, and then we do some comedy with it. And
I love that.
Just singing, you know, acoustically.
Yeah.
Have you guys got into TikTok at this point then?
No, but you know what? It's so funny.
You better.
I said,
that's on your bucket list.
We should do a reality show because
we're totally doing TikTok.
It's funny. It definitely is funny.
So if everyone were to see you, today we have Tina and Tom, right?
Yeah.
Easy. The two T's with
Tina
Daniels.
Why did you say Tom and Tina? Why didn't you let him?
Because it's the Tina Daniels Band. And just like when she asked us, did I come up with your Jagoff? She just assumed I was the more creative one.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
Just saying.
I'm the more humble one.
Girl power.
There you go, yes.
Understood.
Girl
understood,
power.
Understood. So what can we expect, you know, non-COVID times, full band? What do you carry? What's that like? What's your full band?
So we have five pieces. Yes, we have keyboards. We have Kevin McMahon, Eric Storer on the drums, and Bill Wiggin on the bass, Tom Laggett on guitar, and of course Tina. So we've been booking. We've been getting some shows out there. But right now with the COVID, Tom and I are doing a lot of acoustic.
Sure.
And we're pretty booked.
That's so good to hear.
Well, it's not like it was. But
no.
It's halfway there.
Okay.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
We're fortunate.
Something's happening. I can tell.
Right. That's what I said. You
I'm
feel
excited.
It.
I'm excited. Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I do. I can feel it.
We can tell
whether
you.
Whether he felt it or not, you looked at him in the
I
eye.
I was like,
and
Tom.
I know, and I'm like, I'm
yeah.
feeling it
Tom
now.
Feeling it, I'm going
to
kill him.
Little elbow to the ribs doesn't hurt.
Oh,
I will knock you up that stool if you're not feeling it.
Shut the heck up. Anyway, no. But talk a little bit about what's the style of music. I know you were saying, Tom, before we started recording, you are on WYEP right now. Is that right? That's
well,
awesome.
No, the Rolling and Tumbling.
Okay.
Not YEP. Rolling and Tumbling, which
okay.
is...
YEP.
I don't think so. Is it? Is it YEP?
I think, yeah.
Let's start that over. Rolling and Tumbling.
Yeah. On YEP.
I thought, well, okay, you know what? I'm thinking of Y108.
You're like, fine. He's like, if I say WYEP one
yeah.
more time,
you know what?
She's getting the elbow.
Bravo.
I'm usually right. And
yeah, I understand.
That's funny.
I feel you, brother.
So while I'm talking, take it under now. So anyway, Rob O'Frill was gracious enough to reach out and he
yes.
put us on the Rolling Tumbling, and actually they're playing it again tomorrow or tonight at 11
yeah,
o'clock.
Tonight,
that's
yeah.
He
awesome.
Said we're going to play it again. So.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And that's the song that we're hearing throughout the podcast?
Yes.
Perfect. Yes.
So,
you said that perfectly.
So let's see. So
we made a video too.
What's that?
We made a video.
Like
made
the
video
MTV
too?
Days.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like the old
oh
MTV stuff.
That's awesome.
It's on YouTube.
That's
awesome.
Great.
So all right. So when you're not playing music, what are you guys doing? I know we said you're not into TikTok yet, but are you writing a lot during
yes.
the pandemic here? Is that what you're doing?
Well, actually, it's interesting you say that because we have written so much that I said, Tom, we're going to call our album the Pandemo.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we actually wrote 12 to 14 songs.
Not, wow. There's like
yeah, not completed all
not
of them,
all
but most
good,
of them.
But, you know,
right.
we're picking
right.
and choosing, and there's some good ideas. And we have about 4 songs completed.
Completed.
And 4 songs. Right. We just haven't released them because I'd like to back it up with a video, but we're working on video.
Right.
So we got 1 video, 1 song.
Mm-hmm. Tom does
so
all
you
of
like
our
the
producing.
Whole process. Like, let's
yeah,
complete, move
he
on
does
to the next.
Everything.
Gotcha.
He does the recording, editing, producing, the video. That's what
awesome.
He did.
It's like
so.
An addiction. I
yeah.
wake up in the morning early, and I'm just drawn like a bug to a light.
Right. He does
and that's
know.
Why we said the pandemic was good for some of you. Found the silver linings.
I did, yes.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
a wonderful way to look at it.
Yeah,
right.
you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was worried about what was going to happen next, but, you know, it's all working out.
Yeah, that's nice. Good to hear. For someone who hasn't heard your music, how do you describe it? I kind of hate that question typically because it's so, like, cliche.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no,
I'm
good.
Imagining, like, a Janis Joplin-y kind of vibe. Is
I'm
that
gonna
okay? Or no? You're giving that face.
I'm going to tell her how I explain it.
Okay.
And this question just came up, actually, when people used to... What Ronnie Slam and I were in a band
yeah.
years ago in the 90s. And people would say to me... What kind of music is that? Because we wrote. And I would say, what does it sound like to you?
There you go.
And
yeah.
they would say, oh, alternative. And I'm like, then that's what it mm-hmm. is. So I let them determine what kind of music.
Okay.
But our sound, we're rock. We have a little twist on things.
I like that you say on your website you're sultry.
Yeah.
Because not everyone says that, but
yeah.
it is true.
Yeah.
Tina has a really sultry voice. And it's very
pretty
rich.
Raw.
It's very
yeah.
rich and full of harmonics and right on pitch. So
there you go.
Sweet.
What
but
a nice
would,
compliment.
Could I give you my idea?
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little rock,
yeah.
but she has a little southern twang to her voice every mm-hmm. once in a while. I think it could be almost crossover if we, then you have a little, there's a little funky, jazzy,
a lot of funky jazz.
And it almost turns into
jazz.
Prog rock. I am.
Really?
For a second, it gets weird all the time. There's
right.
something that happens weird.
All right, so
that's
she has a
awesome.
Weird sound.
So if we come
yeah,
see you,
weird.
The cool part is if we come see you live, that's because we can see all these genres kind of pass
yes.
through,
yes,
right?
You can.
Yeah, live. I love that. That's awesome.
I'm going to kudos my dad for the southern sound.
There
he's,
you go. Where is he?
He's from the South. And, you know, you grow up with a Southern father who has a very strong Southern accent.
There
so.
You go. Then it's, yeah, you're entitled.
Yeah.
Right.
Perfect. Well, we can't wait to see where else you're going to be. We're definitely going to get back in touch with you with the Honda Pick Up and Go yep. entertainment
okay,
shows.
Awesome.
And where does everybody find you? Website, social media?
We have a Google website, TinaDanielsBand.com, and then we're on Facebook as well. And our songs are on the YouTube.
follow you because there's lots of places coming up. You said that you're doing some acoustic stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Tonight.
Perfect.
Yeah. Extra innings tonight.
Sweet. All right. Question of the day.
Question of the
Wait,
day.
Now, you both have to answer this. Yeah. You have to kind of, Tom, you have to kind of cover your ears. So you, okay.
Yeah, go in the soundproof booth.
Okay, I'm going to put yeah. the secret yeah. chamber of silence. Right.
All right.
Wait, you don't have to tell him to do that. He does that with me all the time.
Well, every scene she starts talking, I'm putting on the cone of
right.
silence.
So he knows exactly what the sound
listen,
silence is.
It's in the guy manual, page 389.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not even my husband and he does it. I hear you. Yeah, he does. Yeah. He learned how.
That is funny.
It's so funny.
Regis and Kelly. I love it.
I mean, I get it.
That is funny.
You ask it. Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah. What is a job you would never want to do?
Job you would
what
never want.
What is a job you would never want
Some
to
of these
do?
Answers
Look, she
are
told
hysterical.
Me to ask it, then she repeated it because I didn't do it right. Did you hear?
I guess the job that I would never want to do, it doesn't have to be music related, right?
No,
anything.
I would never want to work for like waste management.
That is
That's
the second
like the
one
common
today.
Answer today.
While
Tom?
we're all thankful that they do what they do.
Absolutely.
I would never want to be a politician.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want you to either.
Because if I got any power, it would be scary. Okay, I got
it. All right. That's really awesome. Funny.
That is
Listen,
true.
Listen, I'm on a school board, and I would not want to be in any kind of politics. That's like as far as I'll go because it is tough.
Yeah.
Really?
God.
Yeah,
well,
know.
People know it all.
I know. They
right.
know it all.
They know it all.
And they do anything to get where they want to go. They'll tell lies, and it goes on both sides.
So. Right.
Oops. All right. Follow these guys. They're a great team of
now
musicians.
Now introduce the song we're about to hear.
You're about to hear Smack Dab, and written and produced with Tina and Tom. And do you want to know what it's about? Or?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I wrote the song, I have a lot of friends who lost some of their kids to heroin overdoses. So the song is about... a person who is, you know, into heroin and doesn't really, has that kind of attitude like, whatever, I'm good with it. But then the song twists into, it changes. Yeah. And how we explain that.
Hopefully
where
we see the light.
He sees the light, he starts reaching out for help with the hires.
I love
higher
that.
Being. So it does,
Listen,
it kind of goes back
Listen, it's a taboo subject
forth.
People don't like to talk about,
they
and
don't.
You're bringing it to light.
Right.
I love it. Kudos to you. We can't
so
wait.
So we speak for both sides.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming up.
Yeah,
to the
thank
Harmony
you
Inn.
So
Hopefully
much.
Enjoy it here.
I'm so glad. Thank you so much
Perfect.
For having us.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, obviously, to all of our guests. Thank you especially to Patrick from North Country Brewing, because he connected us with Lindsay over here at the Harmony Inn, where we've never been.
Thanks to Rodney and
Rodney
leader
and
hub Rodney.
Oh, my gosh. God love him in his outfit, because I couldn't do it. And thank you to Elon, of course, and thank you to
Marilyn Walsh would have loved that.
She would. We're going to have to tell her.
Yes.
The Tina Daniels Band is who you're hearing. Thank you again to Fusion Entertainment, and thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Rorick Honda. Rorick Honda is known for the Rorick Advantage, as well as 2021 standouts like the Pilot. But how about if you hit the website, you can learn about the day-to-day changing used vehicles that are available and certified, and what trade-ins are like to make that deal happen.
We may be Jagoffs, but we know good people, and we know good deals at Rorick Honda. Did we mention the return and pickup? The return of the pickup and go entertainment, where we have comedians and bands at Johnny Angel's Genji Step Park. All of that's coming up here in the later March, and you can find all of it on Rorick.com.
Everybody's waiting for my sticky mix.
I ain't addicted.
It is what it is. I'm not like the others, I'm not living in the gutter.
Listen, mother, go back to the